أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم صلاة والتسليما يليقان بمقام أمير الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميمين أما بعد جماعة المسلمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته عن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله تبارك وتعالى عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يطلع الله تبارك وتعالى إلى خلقه ليلة النصف من شعبان فيغفر لجميع خلقه إلا لمشرك أو مشاحن أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم جماعة المسلمين Tonight is the 15th night of Sha'ban. And although there is a lot of dispute as to what people should be doing on this night, there is no dispute that the night has great significance. But significance of what? Significance in reciting Surah Yasin, and I say this with all due respect, there's nothing wrong in coming to the masjid and reciting it once, twice, three times, 30 times. But Surah Yasin has got nothing to do with Laylatul Nisfi min Sha'ban. And it's for that specific reason that I'm just going to give a talk today because I don't want us to lose focus as to the real reason why we are here and why we are being reminded. And I'm the first one that is being reminded. For indeed, my tongue is closer to my ears and my heart than any of your ears or your hearts. In fact, what we have just done now, Salat al-Janazah, Surah Yasin has got more to do with death than has got to do with anything else for that matter. And death, subhanallah, in fact, I think it's actually a great blessing, a great ni'mah that we just performed the Salatul Janazah Alil Ghaib because of the importance of what we should be thinking about in this night. We must know that we might not live another night. You know, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the great Khalifa, considered to be the fifth of the Khulafa Rashidi, not in chronological order, but in terms of his piety and his character, he had a minister with a special portfolio. His name was Umar ibn al-Muhajir. Umar, the son of the migrator. Umar ibn al-Muhajir. He had a special portfolio assigned to him by the Khalifa, said Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. What was that portfolio? Minister of Finance? No, Allah. Minister of Tourism? No, certainly not. Minister of Health, Education? No, Allah. His portfolio was quite simply, he said to him, Ya Umar ibn al-Muhajir, إذا رأيتني ضللت عن الطريق فخذ بمجمع ثوبي وهزني وقل لي اتق الله يا عمر بن عبد العزيز فإنك ستموت. He said to him, Oh Umar ibn al-Muhajir, if you see me going astray, if you see me going off the straight path, then take me by the scruff of my thobe and shake me and say to me, Oh Umar, son of Abdul Aziz, fear Allah because you're going to die. Ittaqila fa innaka satamut. And that is why every night when we put our heads on our pillows, the last dua that we make, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Oh Allah, with your name I die and I'm raised up again. But I'm going to sleep. None of us plan to die when we go to sleep. But that sleep is the small death. In fact, it is a type of wafa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha fayumsiku allati qada 'alayha al-maut wa yursil al-ukhra ila ajalin musamma inna fi dhalika laayatin liqaumin yatafakkarun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah takes the souls at their time of death. And he takes the souls that do not die in their sleep. In other words, if we go to sleep, our souls are taken. Who is the one who dies? فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds the soul on whom he has decreed death. وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجْلِ مُسَمَّى. And he sends the one for whom he hasn't decreed death, he sends him back for an appointed time. Indeed, in that is a sign for those who reflect. See how fragile our lives are. Every night, when we go to sleep, Allah is taking our souls. And so when we wake up in the morning, what do we say? Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَحْيَانِي بَعْدَمَا أَمَاتَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. All praise and thanks is due solely to Allah, who gave me life after he caused my death. But I've only been asleep. Yes, but that is the small death. He took my soul, but alhamdulillah, he has returned it in the morning. بَعْدَمَا أَمَاتَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. And no matter how many more nights he grants me, no matter how many more days he grants me, إِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ, to him is my final return. That's why tonight is so important, Jamaatul Muslimin. Let's look at the one hadith on which there is no dispute. Most of the hadith pertaining to Laylatul Nisfi min Sha'ban are weak. But this is an authentic hadith narrated by Jama'atu min al-Sahaba, Abu Huraira, Abu Bakr ibn al-Siddiq, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and many others have narrated this hadith about Laylatul Nisfi min Sha'ban. There's no dispute about this. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَطَّلِئُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى إِلَى جَمِيعِ خَلْقِ لَيْلَةَ نِسْفِ مِنْ شَعْبَانَ. Then Allah looks at His entire creation on the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. فَيَغْفِرُ لِجَمِيعِ خَلْقِ إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ أَوْ مُشَاحٍ. And He forgives His entire creation except for the one that is associating partners in His worship, or the one that is a mushahin. A mushahin. Now, shahina, shahina is a lorry in the Arabic language. Shahina, it carries a load. Just remember that. Shahinatun is a lorry, a truck. In the Arabic world, if you see a truck, they refer to it. هذه شاحنة مليانة. It's fully loaded. Or the word شحن يشحن is the word in Arabic that is used to charge your phone. You will hear people saying, أنا أحتاج إلى الشحن. I need to charge my phone. I need to, that battery is now empty and I now need to reload it with energy. Reload it with energy. Now what has this got to do with the shahna? You see, the shahna, this is the person. الذي يشحن قلبه غيظا وبغضا. Is the person that loads his or her heart with enmity, with hatred, with rancor for their fellow Muslims. Or, and we find different riwayat, that it includes the one who is mistreating their parents, even the mudmin al-khamr, somebody who is addicted to intoxicants, somebody who is, these are the different riwayat that come pertaining to this hadith. But the shahna, this is the one which is absolutely agreed upon, that the one who is breaking ties, whether it is silat al-rahim, whether they are breaking the tie of the womb, or whether they are breaking the tie of the brotherhood or sisterhood of Islam. Now, why is this happening 2 weeks before Ramadan? This is a question we should all be asking ourselves. Have you ever heard of at-takhliyatu qabla at-tahliya? If you want to know about the purification of the soul in terms of a methodology, then it is vitally important that we learn this methodology taught to us by Abu Hamid al-Ghazali. Not to say that it wasn't around before him, but he's the one that documented it. He's the one that basically made a science out of it. At-takhliya qabl at-tahliya. What's the difference between the two? You must make takhliya, he says, Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, before you make tahliya. If you have a vessel and that vessel is filled, let's say for example, you need pure, fresh, palatable drinking water. But you have a bucket, but that bucket is filled with dirty water. Water that you used to mop the kitchen floor or the toilet floor. What do you first need to do? Before you can fill that bucket with fresh, drinkable, palatable, sweet water, you first need to empty the bucket. You need to make takhliya, and you need to rinse out the bucket as well. We're just going to throw the water away. with all that dirty water and then fill it with fresh water? No, we're going to empty that bucket and we're going to clean that bucket. And once we have cleaned that bucket, then we can now go and fill it with that fresh, drinkable, palatable water. And this is what we are supposed to be doing on this night. Because alhamdulillah, there's no mushrikeen here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the path of tawheed. Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve our iman. At a time where people, يَبِعُونَ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, where people are selling their deen for a small price of the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the straight path of la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, Allah forgives his entire creation on this night, except for the one who is a mushrik, associating partners in the worship of Allah. Oh, mushahin. Somebody whose heart is filled with dislike or hatred. Or he is looking down upon his brother or sister in Islam. Jamaat al-Muslimin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to waste our time in Ramadan. Tonight is a preparation for Ramadan. Tonight is the night where we're going to prepare our hearts. You see, Ramadan is about what? Kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. In order that you might what? Fasting has been prescribed for you, just like it was prescribed on those who came before you, in order that you might develop taqwa. What is taqwa? We've been speaking about it for a couple of jumu'ahs. Coming from the word wiqaya, which means a shield. A shield. But what do you want to shield? What's the purpose of shielding a dirty heart? What is the purpose of shielding a heart that is filled with hatred and dislike and envy and jealousy and belittling and backbiting of our brothers and sisters in Islam? What's the purpose of shielding that heart? That heart needs to be cleansed. And once it is cleansed, that shield needs to be rebuilt. Why? Because the only reason why those spiritual diseases entered that heart in the first place, why? Because the shield was weak. The shield was rusted. The shield was full of holes. We know that, as for the hadith of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which explains it very clearly, when he says, "Tu'aradul fitan ala al-qulubi ka'ardil hasiri 'udan 'udan," said that evil invitation and temptation is presented to the hearts just like the weaving of a straw basket, straw interlocking straw. So if you can imagine, you know, the people sitting on the side of the road and they have those different straws and they interlock the straws until they have weaved the complete basket. Now you can imagine that is how temptation surrounds the heart of a human being. But the amazing thing is that temptation has no way into the heart. It is only if the owner of the heart opens up that heart. The owner of the heart absorbs of that evil invitation and temptation into the heart. From whatever enemy it might be coming from. Yes, we have four main enemies. Inni bulitu an arba'in bin nabli an qawsin laha tawtiru iblisu wal nafsu wal dunya wal hawa ya rabbi innaka ala al khalasi qadiru. The poet says, indeed I am tested with four great enemies, like four arrows shot from the strongest bow. Iblis, that's shaitan. Wal nafsu, the lower self. Inna nafsa la amaratun bisu. The lower self is inclined towards evil. What dunya, the material trappings of this world. Wal hawa, our whims and our fancies. Instead of following Quran and Sunnah, what do we want to say? Chakanifa me fateli, I did it my way. That is hawa, following our whims and our fancies. Ya Rabbi innaka ala al khalasi qadiru. Ya Allah, you are the only one that can help me to shield myself from these enemies. And one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed us to be able to shield this heart, the only thing that's going to benefit us on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, nothing else, not from what race, tribe, nation, clan, group, economic status, academic status, doesn't matter. Nothing is going to benefit us. How many children we had, how much money we had, the only thing that's going to benefit us on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah is the condition of this heart. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَأُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The day of Qiyamah is that day when wealth and children will be of no benefit to anyone except for the one that comes to Allah with a pure, sound, clean heart. So that's what we need to do. We need to purify this heart. And then we need to restore that shield. We need to reinforce that shield. We need to cover up the holes. We need to panel beat away the rust. We need to reinforce it with carbon fiber and Kevlar. Make it bulletproof. And that is what we're going to start doing from tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Purifying the heart. Preparing it for its new shield. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ in the month of Ramadan, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Jamaat al-Muslimin, it's not just on this night. If we look, for example, the acceptance of our deeds, there is a particular hadith which is narrated in the authentic compilation of a hadith of Al-Imam Muslim, where he narrates our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, "Tuftahu abwabul jannati yawm al-ithnaini wa yawm al-khamis," that the doors of heaven are opened on a Monday and on a Thursday. فَيُغْفَرُ لِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. So everyone that is not associating partners in the worship of Allah will be forgiven. إِلَّا رَجُلًا كَانَتْ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ شَحْنَا. Except for the person in between which him and his brother, and this means brother in Islam, or sister in Islam for that matter, in which between them is شَحْنَا. What do we say شَحْنَا? الْعَدَاوَة. الَّذِي يَشْحَنُ قَلْبَهُ غَيْظًا وَبُغْضًا. The one who has filled their hearts with hatred and with rancor, with malice against one another. فَيُقَالْ أُنْظُرُوا هَذَيْنِ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا أَنْذِرُوا هَذَيْنِ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا أُنْظُرُوا هَذَيْنِ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا. Wait for those two until they have reconciled. Wait for those two until they have reconciled. So not even our actions. Our actions are worthless as long as we have shahna in our hearts for one another. Why? Why? Because when there's adawa, when there's enmity, there's disunity. There is discord. And when there's disunity and discord, that means there's no brotherhood. And when there's no brotherhood, there's nothing. Shaykh Abdul Hamid Kishki, rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to always say, the blind sheikh from Egypt, he used to always say, Al-ukhuwatu fillahi kulli shay. Brotherhood in Islam is everything. And it's clearly indicated. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa, fa-aslihu bayna akhawaykum, wattaqullah la'allakum turhamun. That without any exception, the believers are one brotherhood. Not two, not three. One brotherhood. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. So reconcile between your brothers. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And shield yourselves from Allah's displeasure. By staying united. By not carrying grudges, holding grudges, and having malice in your hearts for one another. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. In the hope that you might be enveloped by the mercy of Allah. So no brotherhood, no mercy from Allah. No mercy from Allah. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. This is how important it is, Jamaat al-Muslim. What did our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, "Allah أخبركم بأفضل من درجة الصيام والصلاة والصدقة." قالوا بلى يا رسول الله. قالوا إصلاح ذات البين. فإن فساد ذات البين هي الحالقة. لا أقول تحلق الشعر ولكن تحلق الدين. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba one day. He said to them, "Do I not inform you of something that is better in its degrees by Allah then fasting, praying, and giving charity?" Sahaba got excited. I mean, they were always looking for new things to do, to please Allah. Because that's exactly the fruit of taqwa. If you shield yourself from Allah's displeasure, by default, Allah is pleased with you. So they said, "Tell us indeed, tell us, inform us, O Messenger of Allah." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Islahu dhatil bayn," to reconcile between two Muslims. Why? Because to divide between two Muslims is the shaving. He said, لا أقول تحلق الشعر, but I'm not saying the shaving of the hair. Like when we go on Hajj Umrah, and you see after the people have, for Hajj, when they have pelted Jamarat al-Aqaba, then what do? They have their head shaven. Or when we make our Umrah, after we have completed our Sa'i, we shave our heads. There's no hair left. But he's saying, I'm not saying the shaving of the head, but I'm saying the shaving, i.e. the destruction of the deen. This is how important it is. So you see, the problem sometimes with the way that we practice our deen is that many of these things that we do just become institutionalized rituals. So alhamdulillah, it's the 15th of Sha'ban. We come to the masjid, we recite Yasin 3 times. We listen to a lecture. We recite a dua, which has got nothing also to do with Laylat al-Nisfi min Sha'ban. That Qadr Mu'allaq and Qadr al-Mubran. If you want to hear about it, inshallah, come here on Laylat al-Qadr and then we'll speak about it then, inshallah ta'ala. But this night is about preparing our hearts for Ramadan. It's about emptying the vessel so it can be filled with only that which is good and pure in the month of Ramadan. Tonight is a night of forgiveness. Seeking forgiveness and giving forgiveness. Even if we are in the wrong. Allah, what praat Sheikh? No. In fact, I'm not a Sheikh. Sheikh is an old man. What is Riyadh speaking about now? Even if I'm in the wrong. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِدَّفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِي أَحْسَنْ لَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. A good deed is not equal to a bad deed. A good reaction is not equal to a bad reaction. A good word is not equal to a bad word. Give back that which is better. This is Islam. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. So that the one in between is enmity, shahna. Between you and them, it's like they become your bosom buddy. It's like they become your best friend. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. But nobody will attain this except those who truly persevere in the obedience of Allah, in abstaining from the disobedience of Allah, in facing any test, trial, or tribulation or calamity from Allah. None will attain this except those who have perseverance. And none will attain this except those who are truly blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the poet says, he says, يُخَاطِبُنِ السَّفِيهُ بِكُلِّ قُبْحٍ وَآبَى أَنْ أَكُونَ لَهُ مُجِيبًا يَزِيدُ سَفَاهَةً وَأَزِيدُ حِلْمًا كَعُودٍ زَادَهُ الْإِحْرَاقُ طِيبًا. He says, the fool addresses me in the ugliest manner, provoking, antagonizing. He wants a reaction. He hopes that by swearing at me, I'm going to swear back even bigger than what he has sworn at me. By him getting angry and getting aggressive, he's hoping that I'm going to get more angry and more violent and aggressive. So the poet says, the fool addresses me in the ugliest manner, but I refuse to give him an answer. He increases in his foolishness, and I increase in my forbearance, like a piece of oud. Now the two main types of oud is oud Hindi from India. It's a bark of a tree in India. And oud Cambodi. I know Ahmadi will know about that one. Eh? MashaAllah. Always lovely oud, mashaAllah. Oud Hindi and oud Cambodi. The most famous one comes from Cambodia. Very expensive. The bark of a tree. They either extract the oil from it. You know where you get from the atarwala. You know. Or they burn it. They burn it. I'll never forget when I went to Morocco in 1995, subhanAllah, I met a sheikh there, Sheikh Makki bin Kiran. What an amazing person, subhanAllah. And he invited me into his 12th century house. I'm talking of the common era, 12th century house in Fasl Jadid. He invited me inside. He was a person who had memorized the Quran in all 7 different modes. And the A'imma of Fas used to come and read Qur'an to him. And what he did was, he used to have a little sakhana, a little hot plate. And when a guest would come, like he did with me, he would make me stand over with, in fact, I've got a Moroccan jalabiya on. He would make me stand over the hot plate. Alhamdulillah, I didn't catch a light. And he would take a piece of oud, and he would put it on the sakhana. And then the more the oud would burn, the sweeter and more fragrant it would become. And it would fill your thobe, and you would take rose water, and then he would sprinkle it over you, and subhanAllah, that smell would remain for days. So listen to what the poet's saying. He says, "Ka'udin zadahu al-ihraq tiba," like a piece of oud. Be like a piece of oud. Be like a piece of oud. The more you burn it, the sweeter and more fragrant it smells. That is how we must be towards one another, Jamaat al-Muslimin. Wallahi, there is too much discord. There's too much dissension. There's too much disunity. And that's why we don't seem to be going anywhere. We're not going forward. In fact, we're going backwards. We're going backwards. We have, mashallah, when it comes to knowledge, there's more knowledge now than ever before. I mean, just look at what you can get on the internet, can be used, mashallah, for very good things. I think most of my colleagues who are imams or khatibs, they prepare their khutbah from the internet. Because there's a lot of good sources, a lot of good websites, where you can find all the ahadith with the commentaries and the tafasir and everything. It can be used for good. It can be used for advancing our knowledge scientifically, medically, academically, in all sorts of fields. But at the same time, it can also be used for evil. So we find there's so much information out there, but we don't seem to be more spiritual. We don't seem to be closer to Allah. We don't seem to be backbiting each other less, or cheating and defrauding each other less. Yet there is so much more knowledge today. So Jamaat al-Muslimin, this is something, and this is an occasion. Why? Because we all want to be forgiven tonight. Don't we? And it doesn't mean that if you haven't made, or if you don't reconcile tonight, khalas, you've missed the bus. You've missed the train. You've missed the plane. No. It's tomorrow. Allah grant us tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. But what I suggest you do tonight, make your niyyah that anyone with whom you might have a little bit of shahna, anyone in which there might be between you and them some enmity, make your niyyah tonight that, Ya Allah, before Ramadan, I am going to make right with that person. When the verse came down, خُذِ الْعَفُ, forgive. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, enjoin the good. وَأَعْرِدْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and turn away from the ignorant ones. The Prophet ﷺ wanted clarity from Jibreel ﷺ. He said, Ya Jibreel, مَا هَذَا الْعَفُ? O Jibreel, what is this forgiveness, this blanket statement? Just forgive. Just forgive, just like that. Enjoying the good and turn away from the ignorant ones. In other words, don't let the ignorant ones, that's why the Prophet ﷺ, one of his greatest attributes was al-hilm, forbearance. وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And if the ignorant ones addressed them, they said to them, peace. The Prophet didn't allow himself to be antagonized or provoked. So he wanted to know, Jibreel, مَا هَذَا الْعَفُ? Oh Jibreel, what is this blanket statement? Forgive. So Jibreel said to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibreel alayhi salam said to our beloved Prophet Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, he said, Inna Allah amaraka an ta'fu amman zalamak wa an tasila man qata'ak wa an tu'ti man haramak. Indeed Allah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has ordered you to forgive those who oppress you, and to join ties with those who have broken ties with you, and to give to those who don't give to you. This is Islam. And this is to the degree that we need to purify our hearts for each other. Allah strikes a bargain with us. Allah strikes a bargain with us. What is that bargain? We all want Allah's forgiveness. What is the one thing Allah wants us to perpetually put forward in order to attain His forgiveness? It's quite simple. In fact, if you look at the ayah, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَيَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, that ayah was revealed about who? Before I translate it, before I look at the translation. This ayah was revealed concerning Sayyidina Abu Bakr ibn as-Siddiq radiallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala an, and Misdah ibn Uthatha, his first cousin, whom he was the benefactor for. All of Misdah's income came from the wealth of Sayyidina Abu Bakr ibn as-Siddiq radiallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala an. But when Misdah partook in the slander of Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha, as-Siddiqatu bint as-Siddiq, radiallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala anha wa ardaha, Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, la anfa'ahu, he said, la, lan anfa'ahu ba'da hadhi abada fi'atin abada. لا أنفعه بنافعة أبدا. He said, I will never ever give him another penny again. In actual fact, he used the word, he said, لا أنفعه بنافعة. What's نافعة? نفع is that which is beneficial. In other words, I will do nothing, give nothing. In any way will I be ever again a benefit to this man. Abadan, he says. Abadan. What's abadan? Khalidina fiha abadan. In other words, for as long as I'm alive, I'll never give him anything. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. And that is after Mistah, you know, had made his tawbah and received his 80 lashes for the ifk, for the slander. And then the verse came down, wal ya'fu wal yasfahu. Pardon and forgive. Why? Wal ya'fu wal yasfahu. Because wal ya'fu, we can pardon with our mouths. But then very often we say, no, Allah maaf. But then we're still holding that grudge in our hearts. Wal ya'fu wal yasfahu. Pardon with your tongues and forgive with your hearts. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you want Allah to forgive you? Look at the bargain. Look at the bargain that Allah is striking with us. We are going, putting our foreheads 34 times a day on the ground and begging Allah, اللهم إنك عفوٌ تحب العفو فاعف عني. Oh Allah, you are the forgiver. You love to forgive, so forgive me. Every day, 34 times a day, we are making sujood and asking Allah to forgive us. And we expect Allah to forgive us. Am I right? Please tell me if I'm wrong. We expect Allah to forgive us. Why? Because He's Ghafur Rahim. Ghafir al-dhanbi wa qabil al-tawbi shadid al-iqab. The tawl. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the forgiver of sins, the acceptor of repentance. Yes, severe in punishment, but He gives respite. Always gives us a chance. And subhanAllah, as long as we are alive, the doors of repentance are open. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. Allah accepts the repentance of a servant as long as their souls don't reach their throats. As long as we are alive, as long as we haven't gone into the sakaratul maut, the throes of death, the doors of repentance are open. But sometimes, subhanAllah, you know, we just offend one another. You know, Allah forbid, لا سمح الله, that we should ever do that. But somebody offends another person and it's like, khalas, yo dira is too by me. My doors are closed for you. I don't want to see you again. I don't want to hear of you again. And then what happens? Kareifa makada bi ilight of highlight of wherever they go. فَيُؤْرِدُ هَذَا وَيُؤْرِدُ هَذَا. The Prophet says, لَا يُحِلُّ لِمُسْلِمٍ أَن يَهْجُرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ. It's not permissible for one Muslim to make hajar. What's hajar? You know, to banish another Muslim, to cut ties with another Muslim for more than 3 nights. In other words, you have that. Het vir jou kwaad gemaak, jy kry 3 aane om af te koel. 3 nights you get just to, you know, just to calm down, just to, you know, let the ghadab and the ghaiz, the anger and that the malice that entered the heart for those few moments to exit the heart, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. فَيَلْتَقِيَانًا. But then they meet. And this one ignores that one, and that one ignores this one. وَخَيْرُهُمَا مَنْ يَبْدَأُ بِالسَّلَامِ. And the best of the two is the one who first extends their hands out to greet, to first make salam. It reminds me of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib. كَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He once walked past Sayyidina Umar. Look at the love that the Sahaba had for each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to emulate their emulation of the sunnah of a beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He walked past Sayyidina Umar. Now remember, the one who is standing must greet the one who is sitting. And the one who is younger must greet the one who is older. But yet Sayyidina Ali walks past Sayyidina Umar and doesn't greet him. He like hesitates and he doesn't greet him. So Sayyidina Umar went to go complain by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he summoned Sayyidina Ali and wanted to know why. So Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, كرم الله وجه رضي الله عنه, he said, يا رسول الله إني سمعتك تقول من أبدأ أخاه بالسلام يبني الله له قصرا في الجنة فكنت أريد عمر أن يبدأني بالسلام فليأخذ ذلك القصر في الجنة. He said, O messenger of Allah, indeed I heard you say, whoever begins their brother to brother, sister to sister, you get funny ideas, no? Brother to brother, sister to sister, whoever begins with a greeting, Allah will build for them a castle in Jannah. So I wanted Umar to start with the greeting so he could take that castle in Jannah. So Jamaat al-Muslimin, wallahi, we don't have time. There, Qari Sahib, mashallah, you know, I don't think he was much over 50. I don't know exactly what his age was. Maybe somebody does, that he's sitting here, but he wasn't much over 50. And many of you have lost loved ones. Maybe this year, maybe last year, maybe a few years ago. But we all know, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Don't wait. Don't wait until it's too late. This is our opportunity now to purify our hearts for each other. Otherwise, you know, even our salah, we spoke about the deeds in general, that on a Monday and a Thursday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the malaika to receive those actions of his servants. But those who have enmity between each other, he says, wait until they reconcile. Wait until they reconcile. Twice it was said. What is the most important thing to a Muslim? His most important action. His most valuable action. Without it, all the other actions are null and void. Sheikh Ibrahim Jibril, Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriels, my ustad, subhanallah, he always reminds us of this hadith at the end of his talks. Very often. In fact, I memorized this hadith from listening to him so many times narrate this hadith. And it's a hadith where our beloved Prophet Muhammad says emphatically, he says, مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ مُضِيعٌ لِلصَّلَاةِ لَمْ يَأْبَأُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ مَا كَانَ مُضِيعًا لِلصَّلَاةِ. He says, the one who meets Allah neglecting their salah, then Allah will not consider any of their good deeds as long as they've been neglecting their salah. So salah is as-salah imaduddin, man aqamaha faqad aqama ad-din wa man tarakaha faqad hadama ad-din. Salah is the main pillar of this deen. Like a tent with five poles, the middle pole is salah. Whoever establishes it has established their deen, and whoever leaves it has destroyed their deen. That tent will fall in, it'll cave in. So this salah, which is so valuable to us, wallahi jamaatul muslimin, by remaining angry with one another, by not reconciling with each other, by not looking after and preserving good terms with one another, we are putting the very validity of our salah at stake in the eyes of Allah. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thalathatun la turfa'u salatuhum fawqa ru'usihim shibran. Three types of people. Their salah will not be raised one hand's breadth above their heads. Number one, رَجُلٌ أَمَّ قَوْمًا وَهُمْ لَهُ كَارِهُونَ. A person that stands imam for a people and all the people dislike him. In other words, he's usurped that power. He's usurped that position of imama. And that's not something. Imama is something that must be accepted, not something that must be, that a person must take for themselves. Any position of leadership for that matter. The second one, وَمْرَأَةٌ بَاتَتْ وَزَوْجُ عَلَيْهَا صَاخِتْ. A woman that goes to sleep at night and she has angered her husband for something that which he has a right over her. In other words, not for something, for example, he told her to walk around outside with her scarf off. I'm giving a mundane example. He wants his wife to show off her beauty to the rest of the world. You know what that is? We call that person, in the English language, I'll spell it, I won't say it, it doesn't sound nice. C-U-C-K-H-O-L-D. That is what you call such a person. In Arabic, a dayuth. وَلَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ الدَّيُّوث. The dayuth will not enter paradise. The sahaba asked, who is the dayuth, O Messenger of Allah? He said, مَنْ لَا غِيرَةَ لَا. The person who does not protect the honor of his women folk. So he tells his wife, I don't want you to wear a scarf. You know, take it off. What must she do in that instance? She must disobey him. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَأْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is no obedience shown to the creation if it's in the disobedience of the Creator. That makes sense? Right. So we're talking in terms of that where the husband has a right over the wife with regards to anything that he has asked her and she has angered him and she does not reconcile with him before going to sleep. Her salah also will not be raised one hand's breadth above her head. And then the third type of person, وَأَخَوَانِ مُتَصَارِمَانِ. Two Muslims that have enmity between them. They are also putting their salah at stake, Jamaat al-Muslimin. Wallahi, this ukhuwa, this brotherhood. You know, I've been reading a book called The Crusades Through Arab Eyes. And it speaks about that period of time between the 11th century, towards the end of the 11th century, when Pope Urban II gave his speech at Clermont, I suppose Clermont, at Clermont there in France, calling the Knights of Europe to crusade. And that period ended roundabout in the 14th century, in the late 1300s, when the Mongols were defeated. So the Muslim world at that time was basically being invaded from both the west with the Crusaders, al-Salibiyin, and the Maghul, the Mongols, from the west. And wallahi subhanallah, it blows your mind to see how much death and destruction. They say that just the Mongols alone were responsible for anything between 11 million and 40 million deaths, most of which were Muslim. And then even a Muslim who came later of the Tatar, Timur Lang, which means Timur the lame. Why? Because he had an accident when he was young and he used to limp. That's why they call him Timur Lang, Timur the lame. That during his reign, because he wanted to reestablish the borders of the empire of Genghis Khan, the greatest contiguous land empire in the history of the world, during his reign, 17 million, majority of which were Muslim, also died. So you can imagine how many. I mean, we were saved from the Black Plague, which ravaged Europe. But subhanallah, under these wars, so many Muslims died. But if you must just read the amount of treachery between the Muslims, the amount of enmity, the amount of backstabbing, the amount of malice and hatred, Muslims shedding the blood of Muslims, which unfortunately in astaghfirullah al-azim continues till this day, we can ask ourselves why we are in the situation that we are in today. So if we can't do it on a ummah level, on a global level, or on a national level, or even on a local level, let's at least get it right in our masjid, inshallah. That we clean our hearts for one another. That we preserve and maintain the best ties with one another. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةَ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. The believers are one brotherhood. So reconcile between your brothers and sisters. And shield yourselves from the displeasure of Allah. Don't be disunited. In order that you might receive the mercy. In order that you might be enveloped by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us, inshallah ta'ala, at least on this night, let us make our niyyah. Let us make our intention that, Ya Allah, I don't want to have any adawah, any enmity with any Muslim. Or with any non-Muslim for that matter, except the non-Muslim that is fighting me in my deen or driving me out of my home. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Allah doesn't prohibit you concerning those who don't fight you in your religion and don't drive you out of your homes to act kindly and justly towards them. So we don't even want enmity with the non-Muslims. As long as they are not fighting us in our deen or driving us out of our homes. But especially amongst one another. The sacred ukhuwah, the sacred brotherhood. And how can we maintain it? There are certain things we can do. Number one, greet each other. Stop, you know, being in your own world. I know I even sometimes, subhanAllah, people say, Ish, Riyad, I drove past you the other day, but you were just looking one way. That happens to me. My son is here. He can tell you, you know, sometimes my mind just wanders. I didn't even know how I drive the car. You know, how I got to my destination. Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks to solely to Allah. But when we do notice each other, let's greet one another. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تدخل الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا أولا أدلكم على شيء إذا فعلتموه تحاببتم أفشوا السلام بينكم. Our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, you will not enter paradise until you truly believe. And you will not truly believe until you truly love one another. And that means, what does that mean? Just saying, I love you, brother, for the sake of Allah? Yes, that's a start. That's a start. إِذَا أَحَبَّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ فَلْيُخْبِرُ. The Prophet said, if any of you feel love in your heart for your brother, Ustaz Abdul Ra'uf, أُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ. I love you for the sake of Allah. Then he would say back to me, أَحَبَّكَ اللَّهُ أَلَّذِي أَحْبَبْتَنِي مِنْ أَجْلِي. May Allah love you for loving me for His sake. This is how the Sahaba spoke to each other. If you feel affection in your heart for your brother, and the true believer feels affection, And we're talking about, you know, astaghfirullah, they say we live in the pink city. Ma'ad Allah min ghadabillah. We are talking about pure halal affection of one brother to another. Al-mu'minu ilfun ma'lufun. The true believer shows affection and receives affection. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَمْ يَأْلَفْ وَلَمْ يُؤْلَفْ. And there is no good in the one who does not show affection or receive affection. So we must inform each other. My brother, I say to you tonight, إِنِّي أُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ أَنِّي أُحِبُّكُمْ فِي اللَّهِ. I take Allah as my witness that I love you all for the sake of Allah. And then you say back to me, may Allah love you for loving me for His sake. And then you know what? Then we all look forward, inshallah, on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, when Allah is going to call out, أَيْنَ الْمُرْتَحَابُونَ بِجَلَالِي الْيَوْمَ أُظِلُّهُمْ تَحْتَ ظِلِّي يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلِّي. Where are those who have loved each other for my sake? On this day I will put them in my shade, on the day when there is no shade except my shade. Isn't that something to look forward to? But it has to come from here. And it has to be sincere. And it has to interpret and translate into what? Into loving for each other what we love for ourselves. If we do that, as our beloved Prophet ﷺ says, you will not enter paradise until you truly believe. And you will not truly believe until you truly love one another. Do I not tell you of something? That if you do it, you will truly love one another? Greet one another. Because when I say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, when I say it to my Muslim brother, brother to brother, sister to sister, it's fine if a man greets a group of ladies, you know, lowering his gaze, but not a single man, single lady. It could, cause some other things that might come after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us and guide us and protect us all. Ameen. So Jamaat al-Muslimin, my time is up now. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this night, something for us to focus on. How can we prepare our hearts for Ramadan, purify our hearts for each other. In order that we receive His forgiveness on this night, and in order that our salah and our siyam and all our other good deeds inshallah are accepted from us, that we should remain with that pure heart. Another way of doing it is tahadu, tahabu. Give gifts to one another. It creates more love for one another. And that doesn't mean expensive things, lots of money and things like that. But sometimes, you know, just a chocolate, okay, depending it as you pursue and seek it of me, whatever. You know. But give something appropriate. But keep that mahabba alive. Keep that ulfa. Keep that affection. Keep that empathy, that ta'atuf. That's the one thing that is really missing. The ta'atuf, having that empathy for each other. مثل المؤمنين في تواضعهم وتراحمهم كمثل الجسد إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى سائر الجسد بالألم والحمى وفي رواية بسهري. The likeness of the believers in the love that they have for each other, and in the affection that they show towards one another, and in the empathy that they have for one another, is the likeness of a single body. If one part of that body feels pain, then the whole body feels the pain with that part of the body. In another narration, if the one part of the body feels pain, the whole body is kept awake at night because of that one small part of the body. Even if it is maybe a finger you burnt on the stove, or a toe that you maybe stumped on the door, it keeps you up at night. And that is how we should be constantly concerned about one another. Constantly preserving our relationships with each other. Constantly purifying and cleaning our hearts for one another. And quite simply, it means that even when we err against one another, that we must always be ready to forgive one another. So that we can receive the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us on this night. The 15th night of Sha'ban. The night of Takhliyah. The night of emptying out the dirty water, cleaning out the bucket and getting ready to fill it with all the khairat and barakat that we are waiting for the dayf of Ramadan to bring us. Bi-idhnillahi al-wahid al-dayyan wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.